What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. I know today's Tuesday. I said I was going to do a show yesterday, but, you know, life happened. Even though, you know, all of my kids are out of the house right now, you know, they're with various other family members. You know, I still have a full-time job. I wish this was my full-time job, but, you know, there's just other life stuff that happens. And but like I said, I'm doing the show again. I don't care if I have to do it from my car. I will be doing the show consistently. I know I was gone for a really long time, and now I'm trying to get you guys back, you know, win back the audience that I had. And I have to do that by, you know, maintaining a consistent, somewhat consistent schedule. So I hope you guys had a great weekend. I had a good weekend. Went to my in-laws. I actually got a little sick. I had to go to the hospital this past weekend, which, if, you know, for those of you that are listening that know me, I can't stand going to hospitals. I don't know if there's just too many unknowns, and you can go in there for something as minor as, you know, stomach ache, and, you know, you end up finding out that, I don't know, you have to have something removed, or even worse, you got to have something added maybe. So, but, you know, I just had like a little fever and some other stuff, but, it wasn't too bad. I guess the worst part of it was that when I went in there, they gave me some fluids and, you know, whatever, and then they just kind of let me sit for a long time after the doctor said that I was good to go home. So I really do think that they forgot about me. They did kind of have me sitting in the dark as well, but I feel good, feel fine. I'm back to normal. I think I may or may not have had food poisoning, from a certain burger place. Not 100% sure, but I probably won't be eating there at least for a while. It could have been an ice cream place too that me and my wife stopped at right after the burger place. So I have no idea. But now I'm feeling better. Definitely can't complain. The hospital visit was a precaution, and I'm fine. So here I am. Not a whole lot going on in the world of soccer/football. You know, it is summer season, the silly season. You know, there's transfers going on. There's still the ongoing Mbappe thing. Still all the players moving to Saudi Arabia to go get that check, which I cannot really blame them for. You know, a lot of these guys are going to make enough money to be able to take care of their families for potentially generations. And it's going to help, you know, soccer in Asia, because, you know, Saudi Arabia is part of the Asian Confederation. So those players that are going to be playing in those Saudi players playing in the league, they're going to get the benefit of playing against some of the best players in the world. You know, it'll help them. Long story short, I mean, it's going to help the league. I'm going to keep this show kind of flowy, somewhat conversational, even though I'm the only one talking. But again, because there's really not a whole lot going on, there really is not much to talk about. But one of the things I want to start off with is Euro 2024 qualifying. And even though they don't have to qualify because they're the host, Germany still has played a few matches, you know, their friendlies, because again, Germany doesn't have to qualify as the host, but they have been playing terribly. You know, there's been calls for Hansi Flick, the current coach. People are like, they're asking for his head. So let's see, over the three games that Germany played over the last, you know, 2 weeks, they had a 3-3 draw against the Ukraine. That game was here in Germany. Then they went to Poland and played a game. They lost that 1-0. And then the big one last week, a week ago, they lost 2-0 to Colombia. Now, yes, they're only friendlies, you know, but the players are still playing those games. You know, it's not like they have completely taken, you know, scrub players and thrown them together onto a team. You know, Joshua Kimmich and a lot of these other big players are still there. And, you know, Germany just really has not done well. Since the World Cup ended, they played 5 friendlies. They have 1 win, and that was against Peru back in March. And, you know, they got 3 losses, 1 draw, and 1 win. And that's terrible. Things are not looking good. And then there's also, I'm not sure if it's the Euros for the under 21s, and Germany lost their opening game, or no, sorry, I believe they drew their opening game against Israel, and there's just a whole bunch of craziness going on there. Yes, the kids are under 21, but I don't know. They're here in this country, in Germany, they just expect so much more to come from their players. And you know, the under 21s, they're not the men's national team. They're the future, I guess. But I'm not trying to put down Israel or anything like that. But Germany just should be doing considerably better against teams like that. Again, that's the under 21s. I'm not trying to, you know, put anybody down, but German football as a whole is kind of, I don't know, it's kind of shaky, it just seems like. So, yeah, there have been calls for Hansi Flick, you know, the national team coach, to go. I don't know who would coach. I'm sure he's going to get enough time, you know, to be able to, you know, continue this project. Their next two matches, again, they're going to be friendlies because they don't have to qualify. They're playing against two teams that are pretty, pretty good. They're going to be playing against Japan next. That's on September 9th. And then on September 12th, they're going to be playing against France. Both those games are in Germany. There's a possibility that Germany may not win another game for the rest of the year. So that's their schedule. That's as far out, I guess, as their schedule goes from what I'm seeing. I don't know. It just seems like I don't know. Something's not clicking. Something's not working. I don't know if it's tactics. I don't know if it's the players. Yes, you know, this past season was a long season for a lot of players. You put the World Cup in the middle of a season, and then, you know, there's still a whole lot going on. And it just kind of throws off, like, training cycles and, you know, peaking and everything like that. But Germany just don't look good. Losing 2-0 to Colombia in a friendly in Germany is just, I don't know, that's not a good look. Not a good look for them at all. But, you know, hopefully they'll be able to bounce back from that, because they need to put on a strong performance in the Euros, and they can't just, you know, hope and depend on the fact that they're playing in their home country, that's going to, you know, propel them somehow, at least to a position where they can contend for, you know, a top three finish. I'm sure they're going to play well because, again, they're playing in Germany, but that's not enough. You know, that really is not enough. They need to be able to compete for at least a medal. But we'll see. There's just a lot that Germany needs to do. Right now, the CONCACAF Gold Cup is going on, and that has been another kind of weird one. The U.S. had a draw against, and forgive me because I'm on my computer looking up stuff as I'm talking, but yeah, the U.S. had a draw against Jamaica, which was completely unexpected. The U.S. didn't exactly field like their strongest team, to me it seems like, for the Gold Cup. And I don't know if that's, you know, just some rest issues, or, you know, Berhalter coming back as the manager after being, you know, in limbo, or, you know, his job being potentially lost. But I guess Jamaica is not a terrible team to draw against. Next up, we got St. Kitts and Nevis. So, I mean, I don't want to say that's going to be an easy game. I really don't, but, the U.S. needs to, we need to get more points than that. I think the U.S. and Jamaica are the top two teams in that group, with Trinidad and Tobago and St. Kitts and Nevis. But Trinidad won their first game against St. Kitts. So, you know, obviously Trinidad will be playing Jamaica. We'll see what happens with that. I believe Jamaica should win that game pretty easily, but you never know. Trinidad is they're the ones that kept us out of the 2018 World Cup. So anything is possible. But, and like, again, like I said, the U.S. did not select like a really strong team after the Nations League. So anything's possible. But right now, you got in Group A, you got Trinidad and Tobago sitting on top, followed by Jamaica. U.S. is in third, and St. Kitts and Nevis is in last. Group B, Mexico's on top. No surprise there. Haiti, surprisingly, they defeated Qatar, who's playing in the Gold Cup, they got invited. Haiti beat Qatar. That to me is pretty wild because, you know, considering, yes, they didn't have the greatest World Cup, but that team for a while, I think they're still the defending Asian champions. Again, I don't know what team they decided to field for this, if it's a strong team or not, but, you know, Qatar should not be losing to Haiti. I don't know. I'd have to look to see where Haiti is ranked in the FIFA rankings. But that Group B is Mexico, Haiti, Qatar, and Honduras. Honduras is only below Qatar because of point differential. Mexico put up 4 against Honduras. So, and then in Group C, sorry, you guys can hear me like sliding my feet on the floor. This microphone picks up everything. Group C, you got Martinique on top with 3 points. Panama's in second with 3, and then Costa Rica and El Salvador. And then in Group D, you got Canada on top. Or no, sorry, this group has not played yet, so they play tonight. Canada, Cuba, Guadalupe, and Guatemala are all in that group. So yeah, a lot of interesting games, I guess. I really don't care. I just hope that the U.S. can make it out of Group A, and then we'll go from there and see what happens. So if they do win this, this will be 4 consecutive trophies for the United States in Gold Cup and CONCACAF Nations League competitions, and that will, you know, have us ready for next year's Copa America, which will be hosted by the U.S. And, you know, hopefully, you know, we can do something in that tournament. But unlike this tournament, we're going to need to field a much, 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 much stronger team than we're doing right now. So, okay, so FIFA Women's World Cup is starting next month. Actually, it's in about 3 weeks, I guess. And one of the cool things that FIFA did for the Men's World Cup, which they've always pretty much done, is they've made it a DLC in the game. You guys know I play a lot of FIFA. But this year, they're doing, well, I guess, I'm not sure if it's official, but it seems like it is. Maybe it is. I'm not sure. That they're going to put the women's, actually I know for a fact, they're going to put the Women's World Cup as a DLC in the game for the first time ever. So that'll be interesting, because for me, football is football, soccer is soccer, I don't care. Even though I've never been to a women's like professional match, that's definitely something I have to do while I'm here. Even in the U.S., I don't know why I never did that. Maybe because of COVID and, you know, whatever other crazy stuff was going on. Plus, I had a team in San Antonio, but whatever. So, yeah, they're going to be finally doing that and adding that on to FIFA 23. Again, this will be the last edition of FIFA under EA Sports, but it's cool that they're doing that. One of the things that's not cool, though, is I haven't really looked at the news about it, but the last thing that I saw was that the FIFA president, Gianni Infantino, he is essentially holding the rights for broadcasting the Women's World Cup here in Europe, because a lot of the teams, at least the teams with, or excuse me, the countries with in the top 5 men's leagues, at least, they kind of underbid what he thought they should be bidding in order to get the rights to the Women's World Cup. So right now in England, Germany, France, Spain, Italy, it doesn't seem like we will be able to watch those matches. It seems like we are not going to be able to watch the Women's World Cup on TV. I don't condone pirating, but that's probably the only way that you're going to be able to watch it if you're in one of those countries. I'm sure there's other countries too. Part of the reason why some of these countries, why it's believed that some of these countries underbid, is because the Women's World Cup is being held in Australia and New Zealand, and here in Europe, the time difference, you're going to have to get up like super early to be able to watch that. I believe it's super early. Maybe you got to stay up late to be able to watch some of those matches. And, you know, for the broadcasters, it's just not, I guess, something that they thought that fans would be interested in. But like I said, for me, football, soccer, soccer. So I'm going to watch matches regardless of what time they're on. I may watch, you know, a rebroadcast or record it so that I can watch it, you know, at my leisure. But I do, that's if I can. If not, because I'm in Germany, so if not, then I'm just going to be looking at highlights, I guess, on ESPN or Sky or whatever it is that I can. But as of right now, I'm not going to be able to watch those matches, which is just kind of crazy and kind of ridiculous if you think about it. I mean, I get what he's saying, that they underbid and, you know, the men's game got this much. So he believes that, you know, for the inclusion of women and blah, blah, blah. But ultimately, I think for him, it's just about the money for FIFA. I could be wrong, but it is kind of screwed up that you're going to deprive a whole lot of people from being able to watch those matches. So I'm hoping the USA does well, but, you know, there's a lot of strong teams. And this is an expanded field, too. They're going to 32 teams for the first time ever for the Women's World Cup, which, yeah, I mean, you got Canada, Germany, the Netherlands, England, U.S. I mean, any one of those teams could win it. So, yeah, it'll be very, very interesting to see what's going to happen with that tournament, if I can see it. Quick news, the AFC Asian Cup was supposed to be played this month and next month in China, but due to China's zero COVID policy, the tournament's been moved. So now it'll be in early 2024. It's going to be hosted now by Qatar. They still have all the infrastructure in place. So that's, and you know, they're the defending champions as well. That's a tournament that I'm actually going to try to watch for the first time, you know, kind of live. I never really paid too much attention to it before, but I think it'll be a pretty decent tournament. Like I mentioned earlier about Saudi Arabia and seeing how that whole thing plays out, even though it will interrupt their season, because I think their season is I'm not even sure. That's pretty bad. But I think their season is over right now. It'll start up in a few months. Yeah, because they do play during the winter. That's right. I believe they're on the same schedule as the Europeans. At least the Central Europeans. Let's see. This is something that I know that I've been talking about for a really long time. I think I was talking about this like when I first started the podcast, the FIFA Club World Cup. So if it wasn't for COVID, we already would have had a 32-team FIFA Club World Cup. I know at one point they were talking about it being 24 teams, but now it's going to be 32 teams. And it was supposed to happen for the first time in 2021, and it was going to be every 4 years to determine a true club champion, just like the regular World Cup champion. But now, in 2025, so this basically will replace the, what was it, the Confederations Cup, like really. And it seems like they're going to try to do it the same way. The team that's going to host the next World Cup will host the FIFA Club World Cup the year before the World Cup. I could be wrong with that, but that just seems how it's going to be to me, or how it is to me. Yes, the 2026 World Cup is being hosted by three countries, Canada, the United States, and Mexico, but the 2025 FIFA Club World Cup is going to be hosted by the United States. Which for me is kind of huge. You know, we always get to see these, you know, teams come over on their summer tours and play in the United States, and they're in Canada, New York, Texas, they're in, you know, Miami area, they're in the DC area playing games. But those are for nothing. Those are just summer tour games. The teams are just over so that, you know, their fans that live on this side of the Atlantic or this side of the Pacific can see those teams play against, you know, MLS teams or an MLS All-Star team or something like that, or to see them play against each other. There's been a couple El Clasicos that have happened, you know, during a summer tournament or whatever. But this will be to determine the true Club World Cup champion, and they will hold on to that title for 4 years. So we'll see how the Europeans treat this, because they're the ones that were pretty skeptical about it when Gianni Infantino first announced it. But I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the South American teams, they are going to come hard. The South Americans love the concept of the FIFA Club World Cup. Even when it was only seven teams, they loved it. And I think Corinthians is the last South American team to win it. But they are going to come correct. Hopefully these European teams do the same thing. You know, it's going to be a month. The tournament's going to be a month long, just like the World Cup. It's going to be fatiguing for the players. And again, keep in mind that a lot of them are going to finish their season in Europe and then go into a Club World Cup, finish that, go into their season, finish that, and then go into the actual World Cup after that. That's a lot. That's a lot of football / soccer. But for a fan, it's great. But I want to see my players, I want to see the best players in the world perform at their best. And even though I want more football or soccer, I know how bad it is for the players. But I do still want to see that. And I don't know if there's a way to fix that. I guess for the winning team, it would only end up being 7 games. Well, the winners and the runners-up, it would be 7 games that they would end up having to play over, a one-month period, just like the World Cup. I'll be interested to see how that plays out. Because, again, teams are going to want to win this. FIFA's going to throw a crap load of money at the winning teams for that, too. So, or even just the participating teams. But the winning team is going, and the runners-up are going to make a lot of money. So, yeah, I'm interested to see how that's going to work out. Player rest and, if there are going to be clubs that aren't going to want to play in it. If there's teams that already qualified for it as well. So, you have the last, you have Man City that just won the Champions League. And then I believe the Europa League champions will be in it too. It's weird because Europe ends up, it's the same allocation, I think. Europe ends up getting like 12 slots or whatever. But there is no automatic host qualification. There's no, like, if the host country doesn't automatically get a team in there. But I guess if you are the host country, you're going to have teams from your confederation in it no matter what. Yeah, it's going to be weird. I'm going to have to do some research on that. But I am interested to see how that whole thing is going to work and how it's going to play out. So it'll be nice during the summer. The only difference is your team probably won't necessarily be in it unless you follow one of those big clubs. My team, Stuttgart, it's possible, I guess, that between now and then they could win the Champions League or the Europa League so that they could be playing in it. But if not, I don't know. I do follow Man City in the EPL. That's not my like team, but if they were in it, I would support them in it. But I would love to see my team, I would love to see VfB Stuttgart in there trying to win the FIFA Club World Cup. But in order to do that, we got to finish top 6 in the freaking Bundesliga so we can get either a Champions League or Europa League place, which right now, we're struggling just to stay in our league. Oh, I don't want to go back and talk about that again like I did last week, because that is still painful. It still hurts. But I'm looking forward to the Club World Cup. I think it'll be a true Club World Cup. We'll finally get to have a true world champion. They'll get to wear that FIFA badge for 4 years, just like the national teams do. And, it'll elevate that trophy a little bit, which I think is pretty dope, in my personal opinion. That's a good thing. So, yeah. That is all that I have for this week. It's a slow kind of week, even though we do have the CONCACAF Gold Cup going on right now. We're prepping for the Women's World Cup. Aside from transfers and, waiting for new kits to drop and stuff like that, there really is not a whole lot going on, unfortunately. But I want to thank you guys for listening. Again, for those of you that are listening to me for the first time, thank you so much for taking the time. For those of you that are listening to me after, a really, really long hiatus, thank you guys for coming back and giving me the opportunity to, talk about, one of the things that I love more than anything. Hopefully my wife is listening. I have to kind of coax her and remind her to be able to, so she listens to the podcast. So if you're listening, I love you. Thank you for listening. I will be back next week. I hope you guys have a great week. Have a great weekend. Keep yourselves and your family safe. Drink water and, enjoy as many games as you can, where you can find them at any level. So, all right, thanks you guys for listening. I'll talk to you guys next week.